What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris Manning. My co-host is Evan Damrell. We have a special guest today, Danny Cunningham from East Bank Cleveland and WKYC. Segment one, we're going to talk about what's at stake for the NBA draft for Cleveland, which is finally here. Segment two, we're going to talk about some trading back options for Cleveland, maybe. And third segment, some dudes we like and the latest on Dean Wade. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way, in at least in audio form, is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. Thanks for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs in the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. My co-host, as I mentioned, is Evan Damrell, primarily at Facebook's Right Down Euclid. And our guest today is the one, the only, Danny Cunningham from ESPN 850. And WKYC. Danny, what's up, brother?
Not much, Chris. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Evan, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Just getting through this heat wave, ready for the draft tomorrow. Ready to talk
today,
about
today,
this.
Today.
Sorry,
we're recording
today.
Sorry.
Did you forget that it's Thursday morning, Evan?
Yeah, I forgot it was Thursday morning. I thought it was Friday. The draft is Friday, so my apologies to everyone listening, but... I'm ready for the draft. It's an exciting time. I think Cleveland is one of the more interesting teams. I think Detroit is definitely going to be one of the more interesting teams just overall with what they want to do. But yeah, I'm good. How are you, Chris?
I'm going. We're hit in the thick of drafts. Jeremy Grant has already been traded. There's a lot of stuff that maybe will happen. I'm sure we'll get a lot of rumors and nuggets as the draft goes on Thursday. But Danny, we're going to do some big picture stuff today. Segment one is going to be about what's at stake for Cleveland in this draft. So Danny, I ask you, what is at stake for the Cavs in the 2022 NBA draft?
So it's an interesting question. And, you know, the other night when you kind of posed this to me as we started talking about this show, I started really thinking about it. And it's not a draft that is nearly as vital, I guess you would say, as any of the last couple where, you know, you're picking fifth and it looks like you nailed that Darius Garland pick. You know, you're picking third, and by all accounts, you've nailed that Evan Mobley pick. There's a lot more variance at 14th. Like, you're not guaranteed – well, at no place in the draft are you guaranteed to draft a star, an all-star, or even a rotation player. But at 14, there's much more variance than there is at 3 or at 5 or at 8 where they picked Colin Sexton back in 2018. Or even at 5 where they picked Isaac Okoro a few years back, too. So it is – it's important because I do think that they need to find a role player. They need to find someone that can be a contributor on a winning team on a rookie contract. And being able to do that, I think it's not going to elevate the ceiling the way that Evan Mobley becoming an MVP candidate would, or Darius Garland becoming an all-NBA player would, but it's going to elevate that ceiling a little bit, right? Like, we saw the Warriors' whole thing back again this year was the strength in numbers thing, right? And they were able to do that because their role players were so good. If you could get someone at 14 that turns into a Sean Livingston or an Andre Iguodala, just younger versions of them, and I'm not necessarily speaking their skill sets, but that type of impact, it's a huge win at 14 for the Cavs. It really is.
Evan, what do you think?
I think Danny's spot on. When you look at it, like, just statistically speaking and just looking in the grand scope of the draft, to be able to hit on four picks in the top 10 is pretty tough, especially at 8, which is historically, like, not a great spot to be picking with Colin Sexton, who, yes, the jury's still out on him a little bit offensively, but, like, defensively, there's a ton of upside there, and, like, there is a quality role player at the end of the day. And in a pretty weak draft outside of, you know, after LaMelo and Wiseman and Halliburton, like, it was a pretty quick drop off, and still the verdict's out on Wiseman as well. So Mobley and Garland were for sure good picks. I think the fact the Cavs just kind of have history on their side, like, they don't really need to be worrying about, like, swinging for, like, an absolute hit. But I think they have the luxury of possibly going with best player available, but factoring in fit at this point at 14. And we talked about this a little bit as well, Chris, where, like, you look at, like, future upside as well, where Caris LeVert's money comes off the books next offseason. Kevin Love's money comes out the books next offseason. Do you kind of play that into a factor as well? Do they draft a wing-type player to kind of soften the blow of possibly losing LeVert or maybe consolidating Osman or so on and so forth? Or do you maybe take like an E.J. Liddell or a Terry Eason and you play him as a 3-4 and kind of just maybe prepare for the eventuality that Kevin Love could go join LeBron and Kyrie in LA on the Lakers? But at this point, there's just a lot of interesting factors at play. But the Cavs, let us not forget, like they could not be picking right now too. They burned out at the end of the season. They lost both of their playing games, and that's why they're in the spot they're in right now. So I think it's just kind of like a little bit of a silver lining for an already great season. And now you can add a cost-controlled rookie who could, like Danny said, be one of those role players that takes you to the next level. Maybe not this season, but seasons beyond. And it's an interesting spot for them to be in for sure.
I don't think... I've said this a bunch. I don't think you can expect this pick to matter. I would be surprised if this pick matters in how we ultimately think about this season. I look at where we're at here, and I think this is something of a nexus point for Cleveland. I think you're in a spot where they could get someone, and to ask them, if they trade back, which we're going to talk about in segment two, and maybe get another future first-round pick or to get two picks in this draft or something, like they're going to be choosing something of a developmental path here. Because this, if everything kind of goes to plan with Mobley, with Garland, this is the start of an era where you're going to keep leveling up. And if you're going to get a first-round pick again in 2 years, you know, your own first-round pick at least, it is not going to be at 14. You're hoping it's in the 20s. You're hoping it's in the back end of the 20s, if not later, right? Like, you're hoping to keep this leveling up period as we go along here. So I think this pick is – this draft is an interesting decision point for them. And I'm Danny, when I come to think of it, I tend to think this is a time where we're going to learn a little about what Kobe Altman and his staff's plan really is here for how they go beyond last season. What is the plan to keep developing, to keep this going along, at least as far as the draft goes, with obviously free agency coming up in very short order?
I do think it's fascinating, Chris. And you brought up the aspect of not expecting the guy that you pick at 14 to be a big difference maker as a rookie. And I do think that's very true in most cases because, you know, the further down you get into the lottery and out of the lottery, the more developing that these guys have to go.
Well, like most rookies are not good. Evan Mobley, like, correct, being like an impactful rookie is like an anomaly to like the 100th percentile. Yeah, but it's just like most rookies are bad, and that's fine. Yes. That's fine. Most rookies are bad. That's cool.
But I do think it's interesting, and there's one guy in Oshea Agbaji from Kansas. Mm-hmm. Him being 22 years old, him having a lot of experience at Kansas, playing 4 years there, you know, being a good defender, being a solid shooter, fits what they just from a need standpoint. I don't know how much I necessarily love him as a prospect, but he's a guy that it seems like has a higher floor, a lower ceiling, that if they are looking to make a pick on tonight to help them contribute down the stretch in 2023, they're going to take someone older. They're not going to be taking a 19-year-old. They're going to be taking someone closer to 22 years old. So I think that's a fascinating thing to see, and we will find out more about Kobe Altman's draft strategy or just team building strategy, I guess, by that decision alone, if they want to take a chance on a guy that's 19 or if they want someone that's more seasoned that they think maybe he's not going to have quite the upside, maybe going to have a little bit less variance, but could probably help the Cavs sooner than later.
Yeah, I think that's a – Agbaji is a guy who I always go back to. He's someone who I kind of had circled back when – Cleveland first flamed out in the play-in tournament. I'm like, well, they need wing depth. They need three-point shooting. They need defense. Like, the Cavs kind of have a type when it mm-hmm. comes to defensive studs who maybe have a little bit more upside. Like, that, he seems like a J.B. Bickerstaff type player. But I agree with you to an extent. But I also have to think, like, this is – we'll talk about this in the next segment. The Cavs could also not be making this pick for themselves. They could be making it for another team as well if they're able to facilitate some type of trade on draft night. Like, we saw Jeremy Grant go to the Blazers for literally scraps, and I think a lot of it was the fact that teams were hesitant to sign him to that four-year, $112 million extension that maybe Portland will sign him to. But at the end of the day, maybe the Cavs try to get in and not necessarily maybe go big name hunting, but maybe consolidate some of the assets they've acquired, whether it's maybe some of these younger fringe rotation pieces or like Markkanen or this pick and maybe future picks down the line as well, because the Cavs are picking three times on Thursday night, and you could maybe make a move like that too. Like, there's a lot of interesting scenarios here, and I can see both schools of thought where like you could draft a player that could contribute immediately, but I think Chris has really sold me on the idea of drafting a rookie for possible contributions this season, but you're more so focused on next season or the year beyond that as well. Granted, one less or two less years on the rookie scale contract, but you need depth somewhere, and if you're a non-glamour market like Cleveland, you got to build through the draft.
And to be clear, I'm of the opinion that the Cavs should not be drafting for this year at 14. They absolutely should not. They should be drafting to, in all likelihood, to draft somebody that is a maybe your fifth starter, maybe your eighth man by time Evan Mobley starts to really come into form. Because I think it's fair that I would venture to think all three of us agree that Evan Mobley is going to be the best player on this Cavs team.
Yes.
When they make the playoffs, whether it be in 2023, 2024, 2025, whatever it may be. But as you get closer to Evan Mobley's second contract and closer to his peak, that is when you want this player selected at, whether it's 14 or if they trade up to 7 or they trade back to 19, that's when you want this player to be able to be a contributor. I don't take stock in necessarily this guy needing to contribute in 2022, 2023.
Yeah, never works out that way. All right, after the break, let's talk about the idea that the Cavs could trade back in this draft. Let's say trading back with a team that would offer them another first-round pick or offer them a future first-round pick to replace the one that will go to Indiana next year if they make the playoffs. But first, Evan is going to tell us about our friends at
Arcade
yeah. 1UP.
You know, folks, Chris already lit them in, but we have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back, and Arcade 1UP, the leader in home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they've also made it bigger than ever with a, wait for it, Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the most first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making your connected more than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Also, Arcade 1UP is just the place for fun in general. They've got more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others just starting at $399. And check this out, folks. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On Cavs or any Locked On podcast listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You have until July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition's console. Do not miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? If you're playing the Bulls, pick the Pistons. They're guaranteed to win every time.
By the way, guys, one live NBA draft show is not enough for Locked On. Every show is going live on draft night. So join Evan and I 15 minutes after our pick at Locked On Cavs on YouTube for the immediate reaction from us, your local expert. Subscribe now to Locked On Cavs so you know when we go live. Okay, let's talk about trading back. I think there's a lot of merit to this for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't think there's anyone at 14 that I look at and say, gotta have him. Like, that guy has gotta, I'm gonna run the card up, take this guy immediately. Maybe if AJ Griffin slides to you a la Michael Porter did to the Nuggets a couple years ago, I'm maybe like just taking that and rolling the dice there, because like he is a top 10 prospect that has some serious issues, but like he's 13 in the latest ESPN mock. Like, that is well within the range of where Cleveland could be if he ends up sliding even another pick, right? Like, that's a very interesting thing. Risk, there's a lot of risk, but interesting. I also just look at what Cleveland kind of needs to do here, and I think there's some roster refresh that needs to happen. Guys like Jetty Osman, probably Dylan Windler, you know, Dean Wade, who we'll talk about in segment three. Like, you have some guys you need to kind of maybe look at trying to improve on in some degree, and I think you need to get a couple more cracks at that development. Like, you need to get a couple more cracks at developing guys. So, and there are just teams with stuff to offer you if you want it. So, like, the Grizzlies have the 29th pick and they have the 22nd pick if you want to go that route. They also the Rockets have three first round picks. So, like, you're not going to get their high pick in the top of the lottery, but they have 17 and they have 26. So like, if you do that, I'm cool with that. There's some rumors that there's some reporting coming out that maybe the Wolves are interested in getting up to 14. You could take out that future first round pick from them, maybe some protections on it. You could roll with that. Like, there's just stuff you could do, guys. And we'll start with Danny here, that I just think makes sense. If you traded back to like 17 and also got 29, and you came away with like a player at 17 you like, or like, let's say it's Dalen Terry at that pick, and then you take someone like Wendell Moore 26, or you take Beauchamp at 26, or you take someone you like also at 26 and get two bites at that apple for just like helping a team move up to 14, great, do it. Do it right now.
Chris, I'm totally in favor of it, because I mentioned in the first segment of the show just the variance that there is at 14. The chance of hitting on a guy at 14 as compared to hitting on a guy at 17 is not all that different. It is absolutely worth picking up an extra first-round pick. You know, whether it is trading with Houston to get 17 and 26, or maybe you're trading with Minnesota and you get 19 and a protected pick next year. It is whether that second bite at the apple comes in this draft tonight, or if it comes next year or down the road, it's worth it. I do genuinely believe that. Now, that said, you know, if the Cavs trade back, I would like them to stay in the teens at the very least. And, you know, San Antonio has two picks in the draft at 20 and 25. It's difficult, I guess, for me to imagine the Spurs making a pretty big trade on draft night, although they have done it before. But it's kind of a I will believe it when I see it type thing. But I'm in favor of it. A second crack at this, I think, would be a really good thing for the Cavs, especially if at this point you're just trying to draft role players. You're trying to draft contributors. And to Kobe Altman's credit, it didn't work out because of off the court issues, but he drafted Kevin Porter Jr. 30th overall. That matters. And it's not as if, you know, he wasn't a talent that belonged to go 30th, but it matters that you're able to still hit on guys that late in the draft.
Evan, what do you think?
I agree with you guys entirely, and Mark Stein reported this, and I kind of did some sleuthing around too, just with the Memphis aspect of things. They're trying to use D'Anthony Melton's contract to kind of sweeten the pot a little bit too.
I would take him.
So if you're the Cavs, and if you got D'Anthony Melton and 22 for 14, I think if you sent back Jetty Osmond and 14 just to make the salaries balance out, like, that's an absolute no-brainer layup of a trade. I think if you got 17 and 26, that makes a ton of sense. If the... let's say the Bucks offered you Grayson Allen and a future first for that, and then maybe you just trade out of the first round and Tyler, because Allen is a type of player that would make sense on this Cavs team. Like, maybe you take a stab at that trade too. Maybe you try and pry Milwaukee's first out of them this year as well. And there's different avenues and different ways to pursue this, but I think just once you get into the teens and the top three, possibly top four, with Sacramento being the wild card here, is kind of locked in at this point between Chet, Jabari, and Paolo. So, like, there's going to be a lot of movement, I feel like. There's going to be a lot of teams trying to jump. Like, the Knicks are desperate to get Jaden Ivey and jump up four, but there's going to be plenty of teams who maybe, like Chris said, let's say AJ Griffin falls and he happens to be at 14. There could be a team that approaches Cleveland that gives them an offer they just simply can't refuse, and having multiple bites of the apple, like Danny said, and getting multiple role players that you can maybe round out this rotation with in terms of just playmaking, shooting, defense, athleticism. Like, there's a lot of needs the Cavs kind of have that are very specific. And I think being in that sweet spot of like the mid to late first round and maybe grabbing a point guard and a wing somehow, some way, like that's a huge win if you're the Cavs. And then you walk away pretty satisfied heading into free agency, and then you just tackle the next obstacles in front
Denver,
of you.
Denver, I will say, guys, is the other team in this exercise that is of interest, just because it seems like Monty Morris is out there as an available target. I think we would agree that backup point guard, a veteran guard of some variety, is a need for Cleveland. It's a pretty affordable contract. You're getting him in his late 20s, probably in like the in his quote-unquote prime. You know, maybe if I don't know if they really have a desire to like get up to 14 in this sense, and you could take 21 or whatever and like still get a player and get Morris. Like, I think something like that could make some sense, or you could take 30 from them if they didn't want to give up 21. I think there are options here, and I think it will be interesting to see what, if this happens, like what team comes up and how aggressive they did. I mean, I look at the Jeremy Grant trade, and like that was like that's obviously different than this, but like that was like a very low price for what. For that, like, it just didn't feel like exactly like the slam dunk, you know, that maybe the Pistons might have been hoping for in trading Grant. Like, they didn't have to get, they didn't get seven back. They got, like, a future pick via the Bucks, a team with Giannis, who's probably the best player in the world. So, like, I don't know. Like, that's weird. But if you could get one of these other first-round picks and a player, I think that's of interest. I would almost prefer, and I will end on this. I want to, we'll start with Danny, go to Evan. I would prefer, let's say, like, a D'Anthony Melton plus a pick or Monty Morris plus a pick versus, like, two picks or, like, a pick and a future pick. I think I would prefer to get that veteran that you kind of need and, like, remove the free agency kind of potential misses right now in draft night. Get that out of the way. Still get a bite at the apple and go from there. What do you guys think? Start with Danny.
I agree. And, you know, I – not to, to sound nerdy, but I've mentioned variants a few times on this podcast. But if you trade for a guy like D'Anthony Melton or Monty Morris, you're trading for a known commodity. Like, you know what that player is. And I think that would be a really good thing. And you still get that chance to find someone and develop someone. And who knows what that player could turn into. But I do think that trading for somebody, an actual player on draft night as opposed to a pick, is a smart move for the Cavs. And Chris, the other thing I wanted to bring up, it'll be interesting to see how a number of these teams that you brought up operate. Like, you brought up the Denver Nuggets as a team that could be looking to maybe move up to 14. Maybe that's a little bit too much for them. They've got a new guy in charge in Calvin Booth. We mentioned the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've got a new guy in charge in Tim Connelly. I wonder if these guys are going to want to make splashes on their first draft night. And with, you know, Connelly, it's in a new city. With Calvin Booth, it's the first time for him that he's calling the shots in Denver. And I'm curious if they want to make a splash and if the Cavs could take advantage of that.
I think that's a realistic path for sure. It's interesting. I don't know necessarily if Denver wants to trade up to 14. I know they really like Nembhard out of Gonzaga, and I think that might be who they have kind of penciled in the 30th pick in the draft after getting him, or that pick from Oklahoma City. So they might just be looking to offload salary to maybe make one of those semi-bigger splashes in free agency.
Or it could just be tax concerns, too, is the thing.
It could be tax concerns, too. That's also fair, but there's just, I think the Cavs could maybe be, not necessarily like the third team, like a salary dump, but they could maybe be like the third team who greases the trade a little bit to maybe make something happen. Because, yeah, I think it is plausible that Minnesota tries to make a big splash. It's plausible that Portland could no longer, or they could not be done, like, just after the Jeremy Grant acquisition. Like, they still have the seventh pick. Are they going to pick a player, or are they going to try and make a bigger move with it? Like, there's a lot of interesting factors at play here. And I think the Cavs can kind of benefit from maybe some teams that are going to be tight financially. Like, Memphis has to pay a lot of players. They have to pay a lot of people this offseason just going forward. So, like, they can maybe pick off some players from that, too. Like, there's avenues for the Cavs to kind of take advantage of maybe some teams looking to get out of salary restraints and also still remain fluid with their options going forward. So it's definitely interesting. And I don't know, Chris, I think you're an advocate of it, but, like, would, if it was D'Anthony Melton in 22, would you take that trade? No questions asked.
I'm like, let's go. Let's get to work here.
Even though Melton's not really, like, a true backup point, he's more of, like, a combo guard. You can kind of play next to Garland, behind him, like, just provide, like, some supplemental playmaking, a connector piece.
Good defender, pretty good underrated pull-up shooter. Seems like a J.B. Bickerstaff kind of dude. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too.
Like, especially because you could take.
How long has Melton been with,
like,
the Grizzlies?
It's like 2 years. Something. It's not been that long. I think. Yeah, okay, it's not been long because he was a rookie. Second round pick, got drafted by Phoenix.
He was a rookie in 2018. Yeah, he was with Phoenix in 2018. My apologies.
Very intrigued by D'Anthony. I think he's, like, a good player, and he's one of those guys that when your roster gets so big, he gets squeezed, and, like, you have to make some moves. And, like, if he's available, like, I would be in on that dude if you could get him. I think that's a guy that could definitely play for you. Does it complicate the Colin Sexton thing a little bit? Sure, but, like, that just creates more fodder for everyone to talk about. Okay, after the break, let's talk about dudes we like the final time in this for this draft class, and Dean Wade getting his option picked up. All right, Danny, I'm going to start with you as you're the guest. Give me a dude you like. Who's a guy in this draft that realistically could maybe become a Cavalier, 14th overall, late first round if they trade back, second round. Give me a guy you like.
Well, we've mentioned A.J. Griffin a couple of times, and he was the guy that first came to mind for me. But since we've talked about him and, you know, the potential that he could slip because of some questionable medicals, I won't necessarily harp on him too much there. I like Terry Eason out of LSU. I think that he's going to be a very helpful role player. I don't know that he's ever going to be – he's not going to be an all-star type guy. He's not going to ever be the best player on a team. But I do think that, you know, his size, he's a good defender both on and off ball. He can score, shot the ball well at LSU. I don't know necessarily how that's going to translate to the NBA, but shooting, you know, close to 38% in college is certainly a good sign for me. But I like him. If he's there at 14, I'm not opposed to them taking him, but I don't love him enough, Chris, to where if he's on the board at 14 and they trade back, I'm uber upset. I also think he probably could be there to pick like 17 or 19 if they were to trade with Houston or Minnesota.
Evan, give me a dude.
We've talked about quite a few people. Like I've beaten the Malachi Branham drum so many times. I think I need to go get a ticket to a shop to get it tuned up. But I'm really intrigued with Jalen Williams after he worked out for the Cavs on Monday. I really started to sink my teeth in on him. Like physically, he's 6'6", has like a 7'2" wingspan. Like defensively, he's solid. He can provide playmaking, shooting. Kind of similar in a vein to Agbaji a little bit, where maybe he doesn't have like the super high upside because he's a 22-year-old junior coming out of Santa Clara. And I know people can question like the quality of his opponent, but my counter argument to that is if a dude wants to work hard enough to prove he belongs in the NBA, I think he can find a way to do it. Maybe he's not going to be like your super superstar, but he could still be like a quality role player for this Cavs team. And he can provide a little bit of what they need and kind of maybe round out this bench unit a little bit as they face some tough financial decisions this offseason. Chris, what about you?
I like Jeremy Sochan. That's not like a super like hot take, and like I understand there's some limitations there, but like that guy,
I just wonder if he will be available though.
He might not be, but like this is, I was looking at friend of the program Rafael Barlow's final big board, and he has Sochan like at 16, and like his board's like a little different than perhaps the mock's gonna go, and it's interesting. So I would say the other guy that I've come to really like, and Rafael kind of convinced me, his name is Ryan Rollins from Toledo, 6'2", 179. A 6'9 wingspan, like a shade under 6'10. He's 19. That's like a young player, obviously. And like I think Branham's going to go before him. But if you told me like you could get a wing or someone in the first round and then you go with someone like Rollins, you know, in round two, I think that would be fair. I think Christian Braun is like a little older wing, and that's a second round guy, can make some sense. There's a 6'5", 6'6 wingspan. Like I just want to see how they actually approach this. Like, I think that I'm just more almost fascinated about how the Cavs really approach this and what they seem to value, because I feel like this is going to be a cipher draft for what Kobe Altman thinks they are and, you know, the whole team, all that stuff. But, like, what this front office thinks this team is, what they need, and, like, where they're at. I think this will be kind of an interesting little, like, look into that when they will do media or whatever, and then they won't say very much. But I'll be curious to see some of this stuff and be really intrigued by it.
I will say, Chris, to your point about Sochan, if he figures out how to shoot, he's going to be a star.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so good at everything else. But, I mean, he can't shoot at all. But, man, he's good at everything else. And also, someone on Twitter called him Tall Cisco, and I just fell in love at that moment.
Look, that's like me. It's when I saw David Roddy for the first time. I was just like, my king. My king.
Yeah, I remember you texting me about him. He is way more athletic than you would.
It's incredible. I'm fascinated. I will be fast. Like the current ESPN mock has him going to the Raptors. You know how many Raptors games I'm gonna watch with like him playing like small ball five next to Siakam? A bajillion.
All of them.
A bajillion. I'll be watching all of them.
I would guess 82.
Yes, 82 plus the preseason games that no one really needs to watch anyway.
Chris wanted to explain to his wife why he has subscribed to League Pass and paid for like the highest like subscription package. He's just like David Roddy. That's it. That's all you say to her, right?
I get that reimbursed and it's a tax write-off, so it's a win-win.
There you go. Oh, smart man. Yeah, but so. No, I really like I really like Ryan Rollins a lot. Like I've been kind of sinking my teeth into him a little bit too, just because my brother kind of knows him from going to Toledo with him. So like he's like, yeah, he's like, because my brother texted me, he's like, is the kid from Toledo getting any draft consideration? I'm like, yeah, he's probably going to jump into the first round. It'd be fun to have some action on this Cavs team. It would give Chris and I even more reason to be obnoxious about our alma maters if we had a Rocket in Cleveland.
I mean, look.
Plus, he could be fun with the Charge and let him marinate. And then if you think he's ready this season, he could come off the bench. But if more than anything, you could have him be ready next season. And I think that's a huge win, especially because like 39 is a pretty real pick for the Cavs. Like they can grab a depth piece and let them marinate with a charge and then look at them next year.
Yes. All right. Let's end on this. Dean Wade had his option picked up by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not an extension or anything. It's just like he has his option for next season picked up. My only take on this is that like I think Dean Wade is like a serviceable depth piece. I also think that like, you know what, like if he's included as a back end of a trade because it's like salary filler, like that's also, this opens that up a little bit. That's all I really have to say about this. Do you guys have anything to add?
No,
I think you hit the head on the nail a little bit there. It's just he's a good, not great depth piece. I think he is acclimated enough with Cleveland's system after spending so much time with the Charge and the Cavs in general that if J.B. Bickerstaff has to turn to him, he's not going to be completely overwhelmed by the moment. But also, you're not expecting him to play 30 minutes a night. But it's a pretty cheap option, like you said, Chris. It's a salary you can just package in or cop with another trade and maybe push something over the line. So financially, it just works.
Yeah, the Cavs have
He's a testament to player development.
Yeah.
And he's a good sign that they were able to get him to where he is now. But at the end of the day, it's Dean Wade.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, it's NBA draft night. I can't wait. I love NBA draft night. Maybe not as insane.
Fellas, I will tell you, I sprinted out of bed, took a shower, got ready to record this podcast on Thursday morning because I'm so excited for the draft.
Yeah, you definitely did that. I am very excited. I want some more trades. I want some chaos. I just want a little bit of the chaos dial turned up. Give me a weird trade involving like whatever the Kings do, a team in the top 10. I just want some stuff. I really want some stuff.
I love chaos.
I want Russell Westbrook to go to Charlotte and Kyrie Irving to go to the Lakers and Malcolm Brogdon to end up with the Knicks.
God.
And then you watch Kevin Durant force his way to the Pistons instead, and that's what they clear all that space for.
I'm waiting for the Russell Westbrook salary dump to the Pistons. That's their cap space move. Just let's go.
Wouldn't that be something?
Him and Cade.
He's going to show Cade Cunningham how to play.
There you go.
Look, it's going to be a good time. Danny, thanks so much for coming on. Tell everyone where they can find you, and we'll get out of here.
Anytime, guys. I'm at Real D Cunningham on Twitter. I write for WKYC.com, and I am on 850 ESPN Cleveland every night from 5 to 7, myself and Matt Fontana.
Yeah, tonight they're actually doing something very cool downtown. They're doing a block party, I believe, down in the city. And check Danny and Matt Fontana down up on the air. I'm sure it's going to be great. Can't wait to tune in. Everyone be well. We'll be back again live on this YouTube page if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're not, what are you doing? We'll be live 15 minutes. We'll have a full episode recap of the draft stuff come Friday morning. Until then, I'm Chris. That's Evan. And that's Danny. Be well.